Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time, and guess what? It's Rusty. I'm Rusty, and yes, when I wake up in the morning, I do squeak a little bit, if the truth were to be told. Nonetheless, I live in one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Every morning is sunny and beautiful. I live in the middle of Jurassic Park. We have more unnamed creatures that, it would take a lifetime just to learn the variations of reptilians that we have crawling around our front yard. But it's fun and it's exciting and it's beautiful and it's not cold. My beautiful daughter got stranded in the airport yesterday because unfortunately her father missed her first flight due to all the blizzards up there in New England. And don't miss it. Not a bit, not even on a postcard. Sunshine, beaches, and flip-flops. That's the way I roll now. Anyway, so it's been an incredible journey this year. It's almost wrapped up. I cannot even believe we're going into 2020. Yeah, did you know that was actually a TV show when I was a kid? 2020. Never thought I'd ever see it. It just has moved by so fast, and there's been so much success and so much beauty that's come out of 2019. I can't even describe. But I do write about it on Medium.com. As you know, I'm a featured author there, and thank you so much for your feedback, the good feedback, the bad feedback. And, you know, I try to warn you when I feel like you need a box of tissues. In today's blog, you'll definitely need a box of tissues. So read on and strive on. You know, it's all about living and thriving and appreciating all the beautifulness that life has to offer. In saying that, I am super, uber, uber, uber duper excited about all the people that I get to meet in my life and I get to share with you. Like this little person. She's 9 years old. Her name is Emma Criddle. She is a co-founder. Yeah, nine. What was I doing? I think I was picking my nose and blowing up frogs. But here, this nine-year-old girl is out as a co-founder of a kids publishing company. Can you believe that? So she's going to be on in a minute. Her father is a friend of mine. He is also a co-founder, so the apple did not roll too far from the tree. But I don't know which number she is, but we're going to try the first one. So, knock, knock, Emma. Emma? Nope, maybe that's not Emma. Knock, knock, Emma.
Hello? Hi, this is Emma.
Hey, hi. Emma, high five. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I hear you have an amazing story to share with all my guests today. Like how cool you are. Like your dad told us when he was on my radio show how cool you were, but like he didn't tell us you were a co-founder of a publishing company. Oh my God.
Well, yes, we are the kids publishing company.
So why do you do what you do? What made you wake up and say, I'm not going to blow up frogs like Miss Rusty and like build forts. I'm going to actually go out there and be an entrepreneur. That's like a big deal for a nine-year-old.
I'm here too. We're still laughing about
hi,
the
Jason.
Oh my God.
Oh, dude. You know me, Jason. You know I don't. I'm sitting here going, she's got a business. She's nine. What was I doing? Shoot, I was blowing up frogs, skinning my knees on the bike.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that
she's 10.
I'm pretty sure I was like putting 6-foot-long sticks and fire ant piles to watch them climb all the way up to the top and get nowhere and then watch them climb all the way back down. That was my thing whenever I was about nine.
Yeah, now I grew up with some ornery boys. So, Emma, what was your inspiration to start with this journey? Like, what made you wake up one day and say this is what you wanted to do?
My dad. So I see him all the time helping people, and I wanted to help people too. So now I'm following in his footsteps, becoming an entrepreneur.
what excites you about what you do?
When did you talk to her about how you started your podcast? Like, what inspired you to start your podcast?
Yeah.
What really inspired me was these kids in Tanzania. They didn't have access to books or libraries, and I started to record books and send it to them, and then it became a podcast. It became my podcast called Storytime with Emma.
That is very cool. When did you start that?
I started that when I was about 6.
Holy smokes. So you started a podcast when you were 6 years old to kids in Tanzania? Did you even know how to say Tanzania?
Probably not.
To give a little backstory, there was a nonprofit that I was helping. I was helping them build a website. And so they were sending me videos and pictures, and you know, they operated out of Tanzania, and we were putting all of this content on their website for them. And and we kind of got to know the owners of the podcast or of the nonprofit, and they had a YouTube channel, and then we thought it was really cool that they would say my name on the YouTube channel or whatever. And so anyway, these kids, it was coming up Christmas time, and these kids have like access to nothing. And I mean, these kids are like victim of abandonment and rape, and their parents got killed in some stupid turf battle. I mean, just a completely different part of the world. But these kids were excited to get things like t-shirts and bottled water and things to read and activity books and books. And I mean, it's just a completely different, you know, it really makes you think about the luxuries that we have here in the United States. And so these kids really wanted books for Christmas. It didn't make sense to send books for Christmas as far as logistics went. And so
That would be very expensive.
Exactly. Emma started recording stories.
Emma, when you were recording these stories, was it your voice? Did you get to have fun with the characters, like make different voices and stuff?
Yeah, I love doing different voices. On Amelia Bedelia, like sometimes I would make her have different like accents. So sometimes I would do British, and sometimes I would do like "Howdy, y'all."
Right. That's awesome. It's so much fun what you do. Did the kids really enjoy it? Like, do you feel like you inspired them to go out and do stuff like that for their villages?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe it really inspires them.
Good for you. What was your favorite book to have read?
Amelia Bedelia.
Yeah, she was one of my favorites too.
Amelia Bedelia is funny and sassy, and she's just a very adventurous little kid. And I think that I believe that sometimes I act like her because I wear these crazy clothes. And the other day I made this crazy idea where you cut a hole in your pants and then make a shirt.
That's awesome. Do you know why golfers wear 2 pairs of pants?
No, I
do
not.
Because they have a hole in one. Because they have a hole in one.
That's cool.
So if you were to talk to other people in your age group, what would you say to them to kind of inspire them to do something that makes them happy, like what you do?
I believe that they all have stories. I believe that they all have stories to tell, and they can build brands out of it. And if you can just work really hard, and you can build anything you want.
So what is your next adventure? I mean, I think your dad corrected me, and I was calling you a 9-year-old. You've matured by a year. You're now 10. What's your next adventure?
No, she's still 9. She's 9 for
9. Okay. 2 more weeks. Okay, I don't want to rush you. You don't want to get gray hair like Miss Rusty. Christmas pencil. That's what I call it, Christmas tents.
Think about what you want to do next year.
Well, next year I'm starting a show, kind of like my own version of Reading Rainbow. And
very cool.
It's called Little Earners, like Little Learners and Little Earners. And I'm going to be getting business owners and talk to them and ask them these questions and inspire children to do these things that they want to do. And maybe even one day I could have like Taylor Swift or Millie Bobby Brown or like a celebrity on there, because I mean, they're just all awesome.
That's amazing. So are you going to do this on like YouTube, or are you doing this on a TV network? Have you figured that part out yet, or are you just kind of going through it?
We would definitely put it on YouTube, but we recently gained access to a Roku channel. And so we're going to start there and see where we can get the show out to. I have a couple of connections with production companies that put out some content in some pretty cool places. And so I just don't want to say any names or ruin anything.
I got you.
The thing that we want to focus on now is gaining content. You know, it's the same thing with Emma's podcast. We were on a show the other day, and we were talking about what is it that a kid can do in order to have a brand or have a thing. And it's really just what anybody can do. And that comes down to just work on it when you can. You know, I mean, like sometimes you can commit 8 hours a day to something. Sometimes you can only commit an hour a day to something. But, you know, Emma is a testament to what adults are capable of, but adults make excuses about it. And so when you look at the things that Emma has accomplished in this time, she wasn't doing it to make money. She wasn't doing it because she thought she was going to become some big famous star one day. She was doing it because she wanted to help people, and it just kept going. And you know, here it is a few years later, and she has a podcast with almost 700 episodes. Those 700 episodes include almost 400 books. But if you look at all the time that she's been doing this before we even decided to start turning this into a podcast, you know, she's read hundreds of books, maybe even close to 1,000. And the amount of times that she reads them in order to practice them to put them on her podcast. And so what it does is it shows commitment, and she's not doing it for any kind of payoff. And I think that that's something that entrepreneurs forget. Like an entrepreneur really becomes an entrepreneur. I know we have to pay our bills and it sucks to struggle, but at the same time, the reason why we do these things is because at the end of the day, we really want to help people. And most entrepreneurs, they become an entrepreneur because they find a solution to something, you know, and it always makes me really proud of Emma, because I speak to so many adults all the time, and I come across adults who make excuses about the goals that they want to fulfill and the things that they want to do. And I think that that's one of the things that we want to get into with her show whenever we start recording content for Little Earners is, you know, there's great shows out there. There's YouTube videos, there's documentaries. I mean, we're surrounded by media, but a lot of that stuff still doesn't tell the truth, the reality about being an entrepreneur. And I think that that's what Little Earners can do, is it can, you know, not scare kids. We don't want to do that.
But yeah, I mean, there are components that are challenging, but I think that would, yeah, you're right. That would be more adult show versus.
Right. But
yeah.
I think what kids can do is kids can look at the challenges that adults are going through, and they can find solutions a lot simpler than we can, you know. And that's one of the things that I've realized. Like we talked about that on your last show, like we're smarter than our parents.
Yeah.
Our parents are smarter than the parents. And so the things that you and I see as problems, these kids don't see as problems. And it's not because they're not experiencing adulthood and being out there and paying bills or anything. It's just because they don't see, you know, Emma doesn't see the struggle of being an entrepreneur if she just decided, I'm going to start recording these books, you know. She's not a year into recording these books going, ah, we have to get the car repossessed because my podcast is not paying off, you know. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to move across town because I don't have enough listeners. Like, that's not what it's about.
I think one thing to step back with is for Emma, she has you. And that's a blessing. She has a father who's very supportive and entrepreneurial in spirit and, you know, can help guide her through these challenges, whereas most adults don't have that kind of support system. When you get to be an adult, that support system becomes your biggest critic, your biggest naysayer. Yeah. So I think the challenges are very different in regards to perspective because, you know, kids who have a support system usually do better faster than those who do not.
That's what we want to do with the kids publishing company. It's not as much about publishing books as it is about educating families that they can do these things and becoming that support system for them. You know, right now we have a little app and we have a little website, but eventually we want it to be much bigger than it is. And we want to have, right now we're working on scripting out some educational cartoons that we're going to be having made at the first part of the year. And we're working, I'm personally working on some free books that I'm going to make available on the website that will teach a kid how to start a crafting company, how to start a lemonade stand, how to start a YouTube channel, how to, you know, how to get really good at video games and where to find places where you can make money playing video games. Just these little places where kids or families can come together and build something together. Because I do realize that Emma has a support system that I never had, you know. And I think that's the reason why I offer it, that why I try to be that for her, is because I never had this support system. And I always, you know, I always say that, oh, my gosh, where would I be if I had me when I was a kid? You know, and so we just want to run to the kids who will listen, families who need it, and be that guidance and that that foundation for them.
Well, and I think that's what makes you and I incredibly determined parents, because we both have the same that, you know, we're going to give to our kids more than we ever had and provide, not necessarily in the sense of giving them things, but providing them every opportunity that they can possibly have to be as successful as they possibly can be. And that's where I think our friendship blossomed the most, with that commonality. Emma, when you have an opportunity and you publish your first book, you can definitely send me a signed copy.
Okay, well, my first book is called Designs by Emma. It's on Amazon.
You already have it out?
Oh, my God. Nobody told me. Oh, my gosh. All right, what is it called again so everybody can look it up?
Designs by Emma on Amazon.
Holy smokes. And explain to us what this book's about.
Well, one Christmas I got this book, and it was like a design book, and there were like 20 to 30 pages of instructions and ideas, and then there were 20 to 30 pages of models. And I wanted to create a book for boys and girls because some girls like to design boys' clothes and some boys like to design girls' clothes. And I didn't want to put any ideas. I wanted them to like go crazy with their own ideas.
Well, that's very cool.
So it's a book of models that you can draw on and design your own clothing.
And your inspiration was from a book you got over Christmas, and you decided to take it a step further. That's very cool. High five, girlfriend. Watch out, Beyonce. Emma's coming. She going to be multi-bazillionaire with you, girl. Shoot. So what is the most exciting thing that you do in your day, Emma? Aside from work, because we all know entrepreneurs work a lot.
That's a hard question.
I know.
I really love to draw and paint, and I like to paint my dad's nails.
Oh, wait, can you admit that? Like,
well, you know, that's fodder for social media later. Jason, you're in trouble. There's no secrets. Well, that's very cool. And, you know, do you get to put flowers and hearts and, like, glitter on his nails? Really do it up?
Yeah. I like to sometimes paint his nails pink and then put, like, a purple glitter. I know this is embarrassing him a little bit, but
it's not embarrassing me at all. I will tell you something, Rusty. I have the skills when it comes to painting nails. Like, man, I can paint little stripes and bumblebees and flowers and, oh man, yeah. I have the nail painting skills in the house. Don't let her think that, you know, I don't want her to make the audience think that she's got it going on. I'm the one that's got it going on.
So if all else fails and there's a zombie apocalypse, at least we can reach out to you two for a good mani-pedi.
Yes.
Emma, what else do you like to do other than painting and painting your father's nails and embarrassing him on an international radio show?
I like shopping and watching horror movies. Like,
what movies?
Horror movies, yes.
Okay, so I told her the other day, like, okay, so this is what I'm gonna do. We're gonna have Emma's YouTube channel, and she's gonna review horror movies because she always talks about how much she loves horror movies. She loves scary movies. It's all she can talk about. We go to the library. She runs right over to the horror movies. Starts looking in the horror movie section. Which ones am I going to bring home? What am I going to look at? What am I going to... And then we press play. And what happens on the screen is not entertaining enough. So I want to make an Emma review channel where we just have a camera that's on her. And all you get to see is her covering her eyes and her saying, oh my God. And her getting up and walking out of the room and digging herself under the blankets on the couch. She walked in the kitchen the other day and she opened up the freezer door to the kitchen and hid behind the freezer door.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Who was the when we were growing up, there was a TV series with a little skeleton dude. What was that? What was a TV show? And they used to do the beach lick.
Tales from the Crypt.
That's what Emma should do. She should sit next to the dude from Tales from the Crypt and talk about the Bee Flicks. I think that would be hysterical.
Yeah,
Emma,
you
should interview Bee Flick actors and actresses and really get a feel for why they like such silliness.
Well, she always talks about how she wants to meet the cast of Stranger Things. I think that could be her outlet to meeting the cast to Stranger Things. You know, she could start reviewing horror films and horror flicks. And most of all, we want to see her reactions, because for all the horror movies that she talks about she loves, I don't know how much she's actually seen of them. She sees like the intro and the end credits, and anything else that happens in there, it's up in the air.
All right, Emma, I'll protect you on this one. You're fine. You're trying. So when you wake up in the morning, do you like a big breakfast? Like how does a 9-year-old entrepreneur, almost 10-year-old entrepreneur, start her day? Like what kinds of advice could you give us old people that forgot what it's like to be, you know, 9?
Well, I wake up at like 9 and I eat Fruity Pebbles. And then I take just like clothes. Right now I'm wearing something that says like start your day and start dancing and something.
So you get dressed.
Nice.
Yeah,
and you take a shower.
I take a
and
shower.
And you brush your teeth.
I brush
Dad,
teeth.
She's got this. She's let her talk. She's got this. All right, so you brush your teeth. You're not old enough for deodorant quite yet, but that is coming around the corner. All right, so
oh, no, she uses two times manly strength deodorant.
Stop. I'm putting you on mute, Jason.
Yeah.
All right, Emma. So, Emma, I will
I know
you
she's young, but she's like 5'4 now.
Emma, are you there? Did you run away? So I will tell you the way you start your morning, I think every adult should start their morning with. And here's why. I wake up at anywhere between 3:30 and 4:30 every morning. That's way too early, isn't it? You wake up at 9. Look at you, Mrs. Ump, getting ready for your own TV series, girl. Shoot. And Fruity Pebbles, I eat like old people food. So starting tomorrow morning, I am going to do the Emma diet, and I'm going to purposely wake up at 9, and I'm going to find some fruity cereal that I can eat that's gluten-free and put on some really cool pajamas. Is that about it? Is that a good way to start the day?
And
when you grow up, what do you want to be?
What do you want to be in the
An actor. I've always wanted to become an actress and meet all like these famous stars and try to stop smiling every time I get on camera. Because like anytime I'm doing serious face, like we were on Snapchat the other day, we were trying to do serious faces, and like my dad was the only person that could do a serious face. And then I just like kept smiling and like holding my face, trying to keep a straight face, and I want to run away from these monsters and do all these crazy things of the things of acting people, persons.
Okay, that's cool. So one of the things that I would tell you, because I actually watched horror movies all the way through, don't be the actress that wears the heels. You're the first one to die. Every single movie.
Yes. Have you ever watched Happy Death Day?
Have what?
Like, have you ever watched Happy Death Day?
No,
it's
I haven't
like
seen that one yet.
Movie. It's like this girl, and it's her birthday, and she's like, she doesn't know that she's going to this party for her, and then she hears this music box.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that, Was it totally cool, though?
It was really cool. It was actually, like, this girl just kept on dying and then finally caught her killer, and then in the second movie, she figures out who started all this, and then she starts dying again, and she is so mad. She starts, like, throwing people at walls, and she, like, keeps trying to save this world, but she is so mad at her boyfriend.
Don't tell the story now. Don't give it away.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Grief. Whew. I don't know. I don't know. She needs to take a chill pill, maybe have a glass of wine and get a foot massage. Maybe even a mani-pedi. Throwing people, just not fun. So, are you still working on sending out stories to the kids in Tanzania?
No, I'm not.
Oh. You're just on to your new adventure. That's very cool. We are going to wrap up in a few minutes, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell us what you think would make the business world easier for children and adults alike. What are your thoughts moving forward in your new business? What do you think makes things easier? Tough questions, I know.
Kids Publishing Company makes it easier.
Yay!
Yay!
That was very good. That was a nice plug, Emma. Very smooth. To you. That was great.
I didn't even coach her on that. That was way to go, Emma. That was cool.
So, Emma, do you only have children write stories and send you their books? Is that the kind of publishing company you do, or is it just recording children's books?
Adults can do it too, yeah.
So they can just go to the kidspublishingcompany.com and sign up and...
Yeah.
Yeah, the technical part of it is they can submit their manuscripts to us. We have a PDF that's there. It's not exactly a kid-friendly PDF. It's something they need to work with their parents. But as long as they can get their book fit within a certain format and we give them that format, then we can publish their book for them. We allow kids to publish any kind of books they want, and if adults want to publish any kind of kids' books, they can use the platform as well.
That's very cool. Now, what is the percentage, or is that just based on contract, and you get into all of that when you go onto the website?
So they would get into all that. You know, a lot of that information is on the PDF. So we do a revenue split whenever they do start earning royalties. But the whole point of it being a nonprofit is we take care of, and we have our donors and our sponsors take care of the costs that it would take for a kid to get a book published. And so as long as they can fit within certain formats, but at the same time, like, you know, we also provide illustration services and all these other cool things to make a book really cool. You know, like I said, we try to get our donors to cover those costs. And you know, at the same time, you know, Jason Criddle is covering those costs too. So,
I'm sure you cover a lot of those costs.
we'll cover all the costs. So right now what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the word out. And then as the new year comes around, we want to start putting more education out there. Because like I said, it's not just about publishing books. It's about letting parents know that we are a support system and letting families know that they can be building a brand together. So there are things that kids love to do. And we live in a day and age where those things can become businesses. And so instead of a parent shrugging it off, a parent can become a part of it. And, you know, and especially if you're an entrepreneur, a parent that's an entrepreneur, and you have some of those skills, you can really use those skills to help your kid, you know, start building a brand, like now, whenever they're small.
Well, here are a couple of things that I'm just curious, one entrepreneur to another, one parent to another. So what I love about what you and Emma are doing, co-conspiring, is the fact that you are creating an environment in which you collaborate with each other and spend that time really delving into creativity, and I'm confident that you sit there and show her, you know, the backside of everything so that she gets a feel for the business perspective of what she's doing. So that's really cool, and kudos to you for being a parent who takes the time to do that. My question is, in the series of books and entrepreneur casts that you're doing moving forward, are you going to do anything that shows any kind of financial tools for these kids? Like, I think we've taken home economic out of schools. We've taken all of these courses where, you know, you kind of get a basic idea of what it is to do a checkbook and budgeting and things like that. And here we are in a time period in which children, there are kids that are making millions of dollars on their YouTube channels, but I don't know if they really understand how to write a check or the concept of budgeting and what goes behind the back scenes of a business. Is that something that you and Emma are going to put forward maybe?
Yeah, I mean, those are things that we work on now together, and the idea is to get all of the things that Emma and I have done together out to the world through this organization. You know, one of the things that you said that Emma and I have the ability to do, and it's something that doesn't exist with a lot of kids, is Emma has an opinion. Right. And her opinion is listened to. And so a lot of good ideas that we have put, not just in with the kids publishing company, but there's been some things that I've implemented in my own software companies where those ideas have come from Emma. And so I've talked about it before. I think you and I talked about it. Parents tend to look at their children, or, you know, people look at a dog like that dog is their property. And so they look at the child the same way. And so a lot of parent-child relationships basically become this like slave-owner relationship, rather than a relationship of like student-teacher or, you know, mentor and apprentice. And so that's kind of the relationship that I take with Emma. I'm a parent whenever I need to be, but whenever it comes to business and figuring this stuff out, like I take a mentor or a teacher role. And so we have a lot of big things that are happening over the course of the next couple of weeks. Emma's organization has been doing pretty well, to the point to where Emma is now receiving a salary. And so not only are we opening up her a checking account, but we're also opening up her a savings account. I'm teaching her about how to invest this money on a lot of the principles that I teach entrepreneurs. And, you know, some of those principles have to do with reinvesting money into a business. Of course, since she's going to have her own checkbook, she's going to have to learn how to use her own checkbook so she can keep track of the money that she has. And, you know, and I think that that art is lost because people can just jump on an app now and they can check their phone. They don't have to do the calculations and do everything. But these are, like you said, these are skills that have been lost. And so a lot of this comes, and a lot of this that we do is the real practice of cause and effect. Knowing that if I do something today to work on this business or on this brand, that there could be an outcome from it tomorrow. But if I don't work on it today, then there can't possibly be an outcome from that. And so these are the things that I think that a lot of adults miss. A lot of adults will get really excited about a brand or really excited about a sales opportunity, and they'll build a website.
You muffled. Jason.
Yes? Yes?
Honey, you started to muffle, so we missed that, and it's very important for people to hear.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The phone made some weird noise. So I was saying a lot of adults miss this too. We get really excited about building a brand or building a company or a new sales opportunity or something that can change our life. And as soon as we hit a couple of snags, then we're ready to give up. And before you know it, we build habits of jumping from opportunity to opportunity, thinking that next opportunity is going to be that thing that helps us be successful. But it's not the opportunity, it's you making the decision to work on that thing. And it doesn't matter how hard or how difficult it is, you don't go from opportunity to opportunity until you master the first one. And Emma and I were even talking about that this morning. I was saying knowledge doesn't come from watching YouTube videos, it comes from doing. And so in the world that we live in today with so much information available, I think a lot of people think that they are really, really good at doing something because they've taken in so much information. But then once they get out there and they try to make money at it, it's a completely different story. But being out there.
The fact that we are probably the smartest we have ever been as a species, but we are the dumbest we have ever been. And I mean that very gently and very kind, even though it sounds harsh. But here we are in this day and age where I can talk to somebody in Thailand within seconds. You know, when you and I were growing up, it was hundreds of dollars to make a phone call, if you could even get the connection. And if you wrote a letter, it would be weeks before you got a response, right? Now we can get any information, whether it's true or not. Huh?
It's weird to think that people actually wrote letters. Like, that's how we would communicate with people in other countries. We would pay,
I had a boyfriend in Paris in high school, and he's actually now a children's author in Paris, which is kind of funny, and we're still friends. But the only way we could ever really communicate with each other was through letter, and he would send me little mixtapes. You remember back in the day when you made mixtapes?
You know,
he would send me little mixtapes, and he would record talking to me on the mixtapes. And that was the way we communicated back then. We didn't have, you know, the luxury of this highway of accessibility. But in that beautiful, twisted highway of accessibility, we have done very little with staying focused. And what I love that you're doing with Emma is you're teaching her to stay focused, because there are a lot of races to run, but sometimes just finishing the one you're on is a good one.
Well, yeah, you just put the nail, you hit the nail on the head. Like you said, I believe that there's so much information out there that it's taken away our capability of doing things. I once said that the internet gave everybody a voice, but it took away everybody's backbone. And so
Right. Now
it's almost like people don't follow their dreams, because they can just be entertained watching other people that have. And so it becomes this whole thing where it's like, okay, well, I don't want to work towards that better car, or that better house, or that better thing, because I can just turn on the TV and I can watch these other people that have that better thing, but they still have problems like I do. So I guess I'll just live in this comfort level that I'm in right now.
We've talked about this before, you know, for me, I'm all about killing your television, because I think television is no different than any other sedative that people try to avoid, make excuses of their own personal life and not deal with the present moment. And again, we are vastly equipped with amazing technology and amazing accessibility, but we use it as a sedative. And just to simply avoid living.
Yeah, we're using technology to not focus on the real world is what it comes down to. Because when you put down the phone and when you turn off the TV, that's when real things get done, you know. And, you know, a lot of my business is built on my phone. A lot of my business is built on a computer, but I still try to spend as much time off of those things every day as I can. Just so I can interact with the real world, because Emma's business is the real world. 99% of her business is the real world. I mean, I know that she has her podcast, which has almost 700 episodes. So that's freaking huge, but that's only one part of it. You know, the way that I see Emma's business is her Girl Scouts. It's her soccer. It's, you know, she wants to start playing an instrument now. Like it's whatever it is. Because if Emma's making the decision to become an entrepreneur, then you know as well as I do, being an entrepreneur happens while you sleep. It happens when you wake up. It happens. It's just happening. And so teaching
Emma
this balance.
Every aspect of your being, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So teaching Emma this balance that, yeah, like be a kid, you know, have fun, be a kid and everything like that. But also be thinking about and doing things that help your brand. And, you know, another important thing that kids can learn is don't ever put something on the internet that could ruin your brand, because kids have the ability today to access some really cool technology that could really ruin a big chunk of their future by making a bad decision and posting the wrong video or the wrong post online. And that's the reality. That's one of the realities that we really need to start teaching kids too.
Emma, are you there, love bug? Did you fall asleep?
Yeah.
Did you go and get your ramen soup? Your dad told me you liked ramen soup. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. I love his
it
soup
is true.
More.
Yeah, my daughter loves ramen soup too. But you got to watch the sodium, young lady. All right, so instruments. What is the instrument that you would like to play? Have you decided?
Yes, I am. My uncle actually got me a ukulele, and I never like started to play it. So now I'm just practicing, like learning chords and doing all that.
Do you know one of my friends who happens to be pretty famous plays the ukulele, and one of the people that I absolutely find funny in the whole wide world also plays the ukulele, and one of my favorite songs was by a Hawaiian fella who passed away who plays the ukulele. So that's a very cool instrument.
What song
is it? Do you know who the famous comedian is?
No.
Adam Sandler.
I do.
He plays the ukulele and he's funny. And my friend,
awesome.
Bob Proctor, he plays the ukulele. Bob Doyle. He is from the movie The Secret, which you'll learn about. I'm sure your dad will share that with you. And I'm trying to remember this singer, and you'll love his song. It's Over the Rainbow.
I feel like
I've heard
that song.
Oh, it's so
beautiful.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Your dad probably listened. I sent
states,
you my...
Right? The ukulele version
is on Israel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, the same one. Yeah, that's from Israel, his name. But he passed away, so his music is just something to cherish for what we have. So my girlfriend, I have to tell you, I have to wrap up. We have a couple of minutes, and this is where you get to plug yourself like you did so wonderfully earlier. I want you to tell everybody what your name is, where we can find more information about you. Tell us about your new upcoming TV series that I'm very excited about. Tell us one more time about your book that you have on Amazon, and then I have to say goodbye, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, well, I am Emma Criddle. I'm very pretty. my podcast is called Storytime with Emma on CastBox. My book is called Behind on Amazon. And the Kids Publishing Company, you can find us at thekidspublishingcompany.com. And do you know anything else?
You also have a GoFundMe.
And I also have a GoFundMe. It's GoFundMe.com/thekidspublishingcompany.
Yay! Well, I hope when your TV series comes out, you remember us old ladies and come back on sometime next year to tell us how your adventure is going. And, you know, it's very cool that you have a salary now at the age of 9, almost 10. And I hope you save 10% of that so that you can buy a really cool car, like, you know, a Mustang or a 1956 Corvette or maybe even a Shelby. I don't know, something nice. But
I want to ask you something. Would you want to be on my show?
I would love to be on your show. That would be so cool. Thank you.
I would love to have you on my show. Awesome.
Aw, thanks. Big hugs. I would love that. Thanks. Thank you. But anyway, I think you are marvelous, and your dad brags about you all the time, but it's kind of nice to spend time with you and get to know you a little bit because he's right. You're pretty cool. You're a keeper.
Thank you.
You're welcome, love bug. And happy birthday. That's so exciting. Make sure you eat lots of cake for me.
Okay, I'll eat cake for you.
All right, my love. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and guess what? I just got to chat it up with Emma and her dad, Jason, about what it's like to be a cool parent with an amazing kid who is an entrepreneur at the age of 9. Go figure. She started her own podcast at 6. When I was 6, you don't want to know. I think it had something to do with Popeye the Sailor Man and maybe chasing wasps and getting stung. Yes, it's in my first grade yearbook picture. I have over 36 wasp bites on my eyeball, and they still took a picture anyway. Talk about humiliation. That goes down in the yearbook forever and ever. Anyway, In a few minutes, we have a new guest, Kathy Weiss. She is an intuitive clairvoyant. She's coming out in about 15 minutes. This gives you a chance to take a pee break. Go check out kidspublishingcompany.com. See what Emma's up to. Go to her My GoFundMe and drop a couple of bucks. You don't need Starbucks today. Shoot, she needs a college degree or something. I don't know. She's probably going to own a college by then. I love you. You're beautiful. We will see you soon. 15 minutes for a little clairvoyant action. But until then, check out Emma's site, kidspublishing.com. And remember, you are beautiful. And this world is so much more amazing with you in it. So do something kind. Hug somebody. Love somebody. Send somebody a flower. Open a door for somebody. That seems to be an oddity lately. Until then, know that you're loved. Know that the world is beautiful with you in it.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.